WMNF.com.
And support for WMNF comes from our members and the Florida Law Group, protecting the rights of the wrongfully injured since 1984. Florida Law Group is dedicated to creating strong and lasting connections with their clients and our community. And support for WMNF comes from our members and Happy Feet Plus. Since 1985, Happy Feet Plus has been providing healthy footwear solutions, including brands such as Birkenstock, Finn Comfort, and Kenco Massage Sandals. Styles and selections at happyfeet.com. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for Midpoint at 12 noon on WMNF 88.5 to learn how a sexual assault investigation should be conducted. We'll be talking to the experts, Chief Sex Crime Prosecutor Jennifer Johnson of the Hillsborough County State Attorney's Office, and prominent sex crimes defense attorney Maria Pavlidis about how to talk to sexual assault complainants and witnesses, how to prove or disprove an historical case of sexual assault without forensic evidence, and how to defend the case without alienating your jury or audience. We want your questions, your comments, and if you appreciate this type of programming, please call in tomorrow afternoon on Midpoint and join the discussion. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. This is Community Radio from West Central Florida. And this is Executive Session. And as we do each Wednesday, we are going to take a turn from our usual material, and we are going to listen to Everyday Ethics. With me in the session this afternoon is Mr. Adam Bax. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, John.
Pleasure to see you. And we should have a very interesting day. So here's how we get to where we're going today, okay? First, you take a piece of land full of native plants and supporting local insects and animals, and you scrape it clear of all growth. All right, then you go and you select a non-native plant, preferably a fast-growing, actually invasive weed, sometimes from another continent, and you cover your newly denuded piece of land with it. Now, quite often, you have to pour water, usually drinkable water, on the ground to keep your newly planted invasive weeds alive. And to encourage growth, you also cover the plot with chemicals. Voila! Success! Your non-native weeds have taken root, and the whole plot is growing rapidly. So, what are you going to do with that? Well, we go buy a machine, most often powered by a gas engine, powerful enough to lift two fully loaded dump trucks a foot in a minute. But what do we do with it? Oh, it spins a steel bar that's sharpened on one side. That's all it does. And what do we do with this machine? Remember the non-native weed we poured drinkable water and chemicals on so it would grow? Remember how thrilled we were when the whole plant grew like crazy? Well, we crank up that machine and cut down those weeds. Okay, now so far it sounds like it could be farming, but what do we do with the cuttings? Do we eat them? Do we sell them? No, most often we put them in bags and throw them away. Lawns.
Ooh, I don't have to mow my lawn? This is Everyday Ethics.
Everyday Ethics is a production of WMNF Tampa in conjunction with the Poynter Institute. Poynter, a global leader in journalism. Additional support is provided by NYU Langone Medical Center, one of the nation's premier academic medical centers devoted to patient care, education, and research.
Hello, welcome to Everyday Ethics. I'm Craig Kopp. I'm in the studios of WMNF Radio in Tampa, Florida. And I am joined today by media ethicist Kelly McBride. She's at the Poynter Institute in St. Petersburg, Florida. Hello, Kelly.
Raced home and mowed my lawn before a thunderstorm last night.
I pay to have mine done, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
I'm judging you.
You're judging me right now. Also joined by medical ethicist Art Kaplan from NYU's Langone Medical Center, joining us from Connecticut. Hello, Art.
I am looking out at a vast swath of lawn.
Manicured, I'm sure.
Manicured.
Because your neighbors will judge you if you don't.
They would hear.
We are going to be talking about the ethics of mowing your lawn or maintaining your lawn, however you want to phrase that. That's what we do here at Everyday Ethics, by the way. We look at everyday issues and take them apart ethically. Today, the issue is lawns.
Spring is on, and it's time to get growing. So while you're doing your thing, we'll do what we do best to get you ready to live life outside. As America's number one professional lawn care company, True Green can tailor a plan that turns your ordinary lawn into an extraordinary one that will thrive and stay healthy throughout the year. Guaranteed. So start your True Green lawn plan today for only $29.95.
So, always looking for an excuse not to do yard work. Kelly McBride, before we started talking here, when we were talking off air, you were saying that this whole lawn issue involves almost every ethical issue known. What do you mean?
Oh my gosh. Props to our researcher, Christina Sokarenko, who brought us this as the perfect topic, because this embodies all of the modern day ethics issues, right? You've got the environment, you've got our relationship as human beings to nature, you've got economic issues, you've got the redistribution of income, you've got men and women's work issues, you have conformity issues, you have the suburbs, and you can even go back to like the Revolutionary War and why America rebelled against England. There is so much in here.
It was a lawn issue?
I'm telling you, the Tudors, right? They had really nice lawns and they put up walls so that nobody else could see them, and we were like, no way, we're going to have egalitarian lawns. They're all going to run together and everybody's going to get some.
So let's start where my heart lies. Do I have to mow my lawn?
Yes, you have to mow your lawn.
Shoot.
I'm really bad about mowing my lawn. In fact, my lawn is more weeds than lawn because I live in Florida. And as you know, Craig, and as Art, I'm sure you do not appreciate at all, keeping grass in Florida is ridiculously difficult. Involves a lot of chemicals. I'm against chemicals, and I'm cheap, and I'm also not a very good homeowner, right? Like, I'm barely competent at owning a home. So I have all weeds, and I mow them, but my poor neighbors who keep trying to sod their lawns, they don't realize, or maybe they do, and that's why they don't talk to me, is that it's my weeds that are killing their lawns, because it creeps, right? It spreads. It goes from one place to another, which is why we're all supposed to keep our lawns nice, because it makes it better for everybody. So there's a communal ethics issue here. But yes, you have to mow your lawn because your city, there's a law that says you have to mow your lawn. The city will come and put a note on your
door.
More
than the city. I live in a subdivision.
Oh, your homeowners association.
My homeowners association.
Worse than the city. They're like the gulag, man.
Yeah, but so it all started with the Tudors? This nice lawn thing?
Yeah, they had really nice lawns back in England, and everybody else had to like grow food on their property, if they even had property. And so as the United States was formed and as communities were planned, philosophers who were planning these communities started thinking about what makes us different. And one of the things that made us different was that everybody could have a little piece of property. And it also is as we got out of cities, right? Because in the cities, most people don't have any green space, right? That's all public space. But as we got out of cities, it became this philosophy of we're all living in a park now.
Art,
isn't that lovely?
Who takes care of your lawns?
Oh, an army of individuals, of which I am not in their number. I have a big, big lawn here around this house. I'm probably on a 3.5 acre lot.
You are a tutor.
Maybe 2 acres of trees. I mean, we got plenty of nature, but the lawn, like all of these mini McMansion houses in Ridgefield, Connecticut, is big and sprawly. So there's a guy who mows it. there's a person who definitely comes and puts chemicals on it, and there's actually a separate person who comes and tries to kill the ticks, which are, you know, a big problem here for Lyme disease and all that sort of thing. They're at least that level of manpower out there. I was looking at this, by the way, just for a little facts. I think we spend about $30 billion a year annually on lawns. I think the industry employs huge numbers of people to mow them, seed them. 2% of the land area of the United States is lawns. And many ecologists that look at this that I've talked to would tell you lawns are one giant green desert, meaning animals can't be on them. Native plants get wiped out because of them. They don't do anything except look a certain way. They're wiping out nature.
So I'm being unethical, Kelly, by keeping a nice lawn, employing those guys who mow it, who take care of the fertilizing of it and all that kind of stuff. We've made a huge mistake here.
Well, if the environmental frame is what you're looking at, yes. But this is really, really complicated because lawns are as much about communities as they are about the environment. So yes, Christina pointed out to us this lovely, lovely article that Michael Pollan wrote in the New York Times Magazine in 1989, which was the case against lawns.
That was the then dying New York Times.
Failing New York Times. Who was president in 1989? Clinton?
No.
No. Before that.
Bush won.
Yeah. So Michael Pollan is wrestling with this. He's a new homeowner, and he's recognizing the lawn is not necessarily good for the environment, that the chemicals that you put on it, and in fact, it's an invasive species, right? That natural grass is not a thing in the United States. It was imported. So yeah, he recognizes through this evolution of being a new homeowner over a couple of years that the biodiversity in a lawn is nothing, right? It is a desert, and it's bad for the environment. And he also talks about our relationship with nature. He's got this great line in here about sex and death, and how lawns are basically nature without sex or death, because we don't allow them to flower, right, and then go to seed, and we also don't allow them to die. We let them go dormant in the winter, but it's basically nature without sex and death, which is like, okay, not nature.
So I'm doing the right thing. Well, I'm not, but my wife's proclivity for flower beds, most of my backyard, which is small, is taken up by three huge beds of flowers and vegetables and that sort of thing. I'm more ethical in my backyard because I have less lawn than my neighbors are.
That's exactly what Michael Pollan says. And that is the conclusion that he comes to. He was living somewhere, I don't know, on Long Island or somewhere in a suburb of New York at this point in his life. And it sounded like very much like your world, Art, a pretty big, expansive lawn. It took him 4 hours every Saturday to mow it. I'm sure he was walking behind a mower at that point. But yeah, he decided that you have a much better relationship with nature if you're not just walking over your grass. He also talked about mowing the lawn. He has this lovely metaphor of writing sentences over and over and over again, like a penalty in elementary school.
Hey, by the way, as long as we're on mowing of the lawn, wouldn't hurt to point out that one of the key technologies in the sort of proliferation of lawns is that lawnmower. It didn't exist until, I think, 1840 or something like that. So it was invented as a push mower.
That contributes to global warming, right? Like, that is, lawnmowers are not ecologically friendly.
Well, the push lawnmower shows up in the 1840s. The gas one is a 20th century invention, and it is one of the worst polluters out there.
Yes. Right. But let's talk about some of the other things, right?
Okay.
So redistribution of income, right? Lawns are actually a fabulous mechanism for the redistribution of income.
Okay.
You guys both are paying somebody else to mow your lawns.
Yes.
And it is a way that people can support their families.
Right.
It is a way in this economy where we don't actually rub elbows too much across different classes that you have to. I would say that that's a good thing, redistribution of income.
Let me jump in and just say, I also hire somebody and I need them to plow. snows a lot in Connecticut, especially where I am. But that makes sense because I got to get out of here. So somebody's got to move that snow and they need a plow to do it. You wouldn't really want to try to shovel it. It's a lot of snow. Couldn't we employ all these folks who are coming to redistribute the income and let them grow crops or something?
Well, yes, but that's more socialism, right? That would require the state to intervene because you're not going to have them grow a crop just for you.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're talking about sort of reimagining our entire society.
Which is a philosopher I like to do, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also a really great transition to the communal nature of lawns. When the suburbs were imagined, the first community planners and the architects, they imagined these lawns that ran into each other. It was a collective saying, hey, we're all like each other. And it is a statement saying, I'm part of the group to have a lawn that runs into my neighbor's lawn.
So
not have a fence or a hedge or a stone wall that separates you.
So the people in my subdivision who build a fence are still Tudors.
Exactly. But that ethic, right, that is an ethic right there, mm-hmm. to say, hey, we are part of a community and we're all going to contribute to this communal good.
I get that value. It does speak something to say no boundaries. We all can share and our kids can play in common ground and all that. However, I don't know if that's still the ethos driving lawns now. Now they're kind of for show, right? I mean, people come up here and they say, boy, your lawn is great. It's green. It looks wonderful. They don't say congratulations, Art. They know someone must be maintaining it, and it's kind of a show-off thing or something. I've got
right.
the prettiest lawn.
And that's a way that a value can morph into a negative force, right? Like something that was intended to be a good value on society, when taken to extreme, can become a negative force. It's also, if you think about lawns, it's an act of conformity.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, right?
Yes.
To have your lawn look 100%. Like your neighbor's lawn. If you don't conform, then you are a nonconformist. You're sort of rejecting society. Sometimes we celebrate nonconformists, but a lot of times first we punish them and then later in life we celebrate them.
In neighborhoods I've been in over the years, there's always been one family or couple or partnership somewhere who decides to let the lawn go. Up here in the Northeast, that means, you know, the what
dandelions.
Kelly referred to as the weeds, you know, all that stuff comes back and the neighbors go bonkers, just crazy. They're afraid
what
to lower
is
the property
that
values.
Right, like what do they think is going to happen?
Their property values will go down because people will think that's ugly or doesn't square up with the look of the neighborhood, so to speak. I think others worry that somehow or another it looks trashy to have that kind of stuff. They've gotten used to the idea that the lawn is nature, believe it or not, but I think they do. And then they may be worried about Billy Bob, somebody or other, who's deciding to store his old tires on the lawn.
I have been on the end of that judgment, right? Like I said, I am a barely competent homeowner. Last night, I got off of work and I literally raced home because I'm going out of town over the weekend to get the lawn mowed, because if I didn't get it mowed, by the time I come back, I mean, we're living in Florida, it's raining every day and it's already been like 10 days, so it definitely needed to be mowed. By the time I come back in 4 days, it would be like knee high.
Right.
And my neighbors would be really mad. And like, sometimes I get angry about that. Like, this life is hard enough, right? I am a single mom. I've got 3 kids.
Wah, and what are you mowing with, dare we ask? What's your mower?
I do love this. I have just a push mower that you start with a pull thing and you feed with gas, but I share it with my neighbors. And so when we have this great arrangement where when I moved into the house, somebody gave me a mower and my other neighbor had moved in right about the same time and he didn't have a mower and we have really small lawns. So I was like, just use mine. Like, why would we both own a mower? And so then that mower died.
Communism runs rampant again.
Exactly. It's a collective. And he bought the next mower and then
hilarious.
That mower died. And so now we're on our third shared mower.
This is interesting. I feel in my subdivision, that huge flower garden, the beds we have in our backyard, is very unusual. You either have a pool or you have a lawn. We stick out
the pool.
We stick
ours
out
has both.
Yeah, both. We stick out like a sore thumb. And I just know that people talk about that flower beds.
Really? They talk about it negative? I'm always jealous of people who can actually
And I can tell
things.
You right now, I've owned a house in Ohio and a house down here. If you go to sell that house, you got to get rid of those flower beds. Nobody wants to do that.
Really?
Yep.
When I was married, the best thing about my ex-husband was his ability to make our yard look beautiful. And it really was
That's why she's no longer married, folks.
That's why she has a lousy lawn.
Why I have a lousy lawn. But so this gets into the division of labor. When I was mowing my lawn last night, I was thinking it's a pain in the butt because you got to get the mower out and you got to start it. But it is really about the easiest work that there is. All you're doing is walking behind this machine. It's not hard. It's certainly not emotional labor. It's better than folding laundry or doing dishes.
I would argue against that.
Really?
But
why?
My first labor job was my grandfather's 3-acre farm lawn with a non-motorized push mower. And I hate yard work. And my wife loves the flower beds and stuff. It is a point of contention at all times because it's not my thing. Right, I'd rather do the laundry.
But in your relationship, you guys have figured out a division of labor that works. In some relationships, I've noticed that outside work seems to take a lot longer than it should. I've just noticed that there's a little bit of dishonesty going on there in some relationships.
So I want to come back to, I know we jumped past the environmental impact, but just like with eating meat, I think it's pretty hard to justify lawns. I mean, I have, as I said, a big one, but I keep thinking the chemicals, the work that goes into mowing with the pollution flying out of the mowers, it's not helping nature in any way. It's a taste issue. It's a value issue. We could have anything we wanted around our homes. I know this is a big call for changing what is by now a deeply ingrained idea about what a house should look like surrounded by a lawn, but
an American idea.
It makes no environmental sense. I was going to say, I don't see it in other countries.
You are absolutely right, and you have choices. So you could do your lawn the way I do it, which is no chemicals, right? You would get a lot of weeds and dandelions, and you would just have to live with
them. Come tell me it's you know, these are good chemicals, but what do I know?
You know, they're better than what we used to use, but that doesn't mean that they're good chemicals.
Well, in the state of Florida, they do have regulations. There are certain times of year you can't buy and spread certain chemicals
because
of the rain and the runoff.
Well, we're talking about spreading the chemicals and the pollution and all that. There are people trying to grow lawns in Arizona in desert environments. What the heck is that about? They have no water.
If you go to Phoenix, most lawns are stone and cacti and that sort of thing. And they are ticked off at the people who are growing grass because they claim it adds to the haze in the city.
It does. Well, it does. A lot of newspapers out west have done these fabulous investigations into who's abusing the water use. And they always find like these fabulously rich, obnoxious people who just don't care and are using water that's beyond the regulation and just paying the fines. It is an economic issue that way. But back to the environment, the thing that we have going on right here outside of Tampa is red tide. And one of the things that contributes to red tide, which for you guys who don't know about red tide, it is obnoxious. It is an algae bloom in the middle of the ocean. It kills thousands and thousands, millions of fish and manatees, and it's a horrible, horrible menace. And one of the main contributors is runoff from fertilizer.
Right.
Now, it's agriculture as well as lawns, but if we would all stop putting fertilizer on our lawns, I gotta think it would help red tide. Well, here I am talking about crap I don't know anything about, but there you go.
But you do know about lawn mowing.
I suspect you're right. Whatever we're putting on the lawn doesn't stay there. It runs off someplace.
Right. That's why they restrict the sale of it here in Florida in the summer. But, man.
Maybe my last word on lawns is there was a cultural change in the Southwest when people started to bring their East Coast lawn habit. They decided that's nuts. We're too short on water. I mean, it makes it possible, perhaps, to change some attitudes about, you know, devote part of your lawn to some crop raising or flowers for the bees, as Craig's doing, that sort of thing. Maybe there's a chance for a little change.
I am certainly helping nature with my lawn. Number one, the bees. They're all over in there. It's fun to watch
butterflies.
Them. Butterflies. There's tons of them. And boy, do the deer love my roses.
Really? You have deer?
Oh, yeah.
I just have raccoons.
I have alligators run across the street in my subdivision. I'm in the wilderness, girl. Kelly McBride and Art Kaplan, I'm Craig Kopp, and this is Everyday Ethics, knowing the difference between what you have a right to do and what's right to do. Everyday Ethics is engineered, produced, and edited by Dustin Hapley, and our researcher is...
Christina Sokorenku. Great job on this one.
And to all I say...
Hey! Hey!
Get off my lawn!
People say, you know, I'm an idiot or something because all I do is cut lawns for a living, you know?
See, people don't say that about you as far as you know.
Well, I'm working on it.
You know. Everyday Ethics, as we do each Wednesday, we can have a conversation about that at 813-239-9663. You are listening to WMNF. This is 88.5 FM, and the program you're listening to is Executive Session. Each Wednesday, we present an episode of Everyday Ethics. This week, we were listening to an episode that's a discussion about lawns. We are going to go to the phones momentarily. First,
Damon Fowler has a great new album, The Whiskey Bayou Session, produced by Tab Benoit. WMNF is presenting the Damon Fowler album release party. And it's a cool double bill with the Nighthawks, the legendary Washington, D.C. blues and rock and roll band. Two blues rock and WMNF favorite bands, the Damon Fowler Band and the Nighthawks. At Skipper Smokehouse, Saturday, October 20th.
Support for WMNF comes from our members and WEDU PBS. WEDU will honor nonprofit organizations and volunteers during the WEDU Be More Awards. Applications and nominations will be accepted through October 30th. Information is online at wedu.org/bemore. If you're not listening to WNF's morning show every weekday from 6 to 9, you're missing out on the best and most eclectic music mix in town, local news from WMNF News Department, and national and international news from NPR. It's the WMNF Morning Show, 6 to 9 weekdays on WMNF 88.5 FM, the last local radio station in Tampa.
And we want to remind you tomorrow to tune in at noon for Midpoint here on WMNF to learn how a sexual assault investigation should be conducted. We'll be talking to the experts, the Chief Sex Crimes Prosecutor Jennifer Johnson of the Hillsborough County State Attorney's Office and prominent sex crimes defense attorney Maria Pavlidis about how to talk to sexual assault complainants and witnesses, how to prove or disprove an historical case of sexual assault without forensic evidence, and how to defend the case without alienating your jury or audience. We want your questions, your comments, and if you appreciate this type of programming, please call in and join the discussion tomorrow at noon on Midpoint. Right now, we are going to join your conversation potentially about the Everyday Ethics episode that we just listened to about lawns. And we're going to go and talk to Daryl. Good afternoon, Daryl. It's good to hear from you.
Hey, John. How you doing?
So far, not bad.
Well, let me say, as an official card-carrying member of the Mutt Grass Society, I am a proud owner of Bahia Grass.
There you go.
Don't have to fertilize it, and when it gets into the wintertime, it looks like a brown,
right,
dry, dead veranda.
And you can't kill it with a stick.
Yes, and even though patches of sand spurs will grow up in it, I just smile at it and laugh because it will choke them out.
Right, if you listen, you can hear them being choked.
Yes, and they will die even with stinging nettles.
Yep.
They're going to die, but the first rain that comes back, it pops back nice and green.
Yep.
And my only contention is, where were you guys when I was 10 years old? And I had to get out there and cut the grass. And let me start a little bone of contention.
Uh-oh.
All of you ladies out there want to scream about inequities. I can hardly get the word out. about the sexes and stuff like that. Y'all didn't have to cut grass. No, you didn't have to do it. I had to do that stuff. And other guys like me at 10 years old, we had to get out there in the hot sun. I hear you, Miss Elizabeth, but you didn't have to cut grass. I had to get out there in the hot sun, and I know my time is going by. So let me just end by saying this. When we finally do build a colony on the moon and we're under the dome, everybody's got to have Bahia grass. Forget that St. Augustine crap. Yeah. Bahia grass. And let me just say this. Long live kudzu.
Okay.
Long live kudzu.
Listen, kudzu will catch up to you if you don't walk fast.
I heard that's a weed from Far East Asia. Yep. That's what I heard that is.
All right, Darrell, listen, right. You kicked us off in fine fashion. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right, 813-239-9663. Lawns here in Florida, basically described as beautiful manicured green deserts. We have, let me see something here. Let me see if I can bring up an email. Somebody sent us a very interesting email here, and yeah, Stephanie said years ago her neighbor spent ridiculous money sodding the yard in a neighborhood last sodded in the 60s when the houses were built. Then in order to keep the sod and not close-cropped weeds like his neighbors, he hired a chemical company, which has changed their names to a different chemical company, to maintain the yard. Now, one of his treatments he had killed three of my cats and one of his. And they obviously didn't read the sign notifying that the lawn had been treated. When he found out about my cats, he stopped the service. Tragic, my pets had to pay the point to make the point that it's too toxic. So there's somebody who has had a very unfortunate experience with lawns and even being the neighbor of someone who is trying very desperately to keep a lawn. David in Clearwater, good afternoon. You're in executive session. You have the floor.
Are you in Clearwater talking to David?
I'm in Clearwater talking to you. If you're David, you're on.
I am. And I can tell you without fear of contradiction that I do not use the wonderful water that the city has furnished me at $8.10 a month, whether I use it or not. And that's because I read the letter that came when we first got it installed, whether we needed it or not, and help pay for it so the city could put it in. And it said such things as don't walk in the yard barefooted because you might step on hypodermic needles, broken needles.
Really?
Do not let your pet go out until the grass is completely dry, and then they shouldn't have wet paws.
Yeah.
That scared me to death.
I'm still trying to figure out what the connection is to hypodermic needles, but that's okay. I got it.
Either. I don't know what's coming out of that pipe.
I can honestly tell you that in my entire living experience, I have never had a hypodermic needle come out of a faucet or a spigot or anything else that was connected to the city water.
Do you use your recycled water?
Well, actually, recycled water around here is a relatively recent thing that they just started in, I don't know, probably 15 or 20 years ago. We were using water from behind the 40th Street Dam on the Hillsborough River.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all I'm saying is, it's not all it's cracked up to be. with the poor lady who had her dog because the guy was using a commercial company.
Yeah.
It is not really that much better because this stuff is coming out and it's not what I consider gray water. Gray water to me is water that comes out of the drain on your washing machine.
Yeah, right. Your sink, your washer, your lavatory, something like that.
Exactly. And that they should allow us some kind of a special consideration to go ahead and do that. But if we did it, they'd probably bill us for it.
Well, of course they would.
My bill went up $20 last month. I'm one person in a house, and I do bathe almost every day.
Uh-huh.
But I swear to you, $40 in a month just chaps me to no end. I support what the city does to help people out. But, if the Lord wants my grass to grow, he'll give me rain and poison.
That's the way things. Listen, Dave. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. We'll talk again. That's the way things are in my yard. If you're out there in my yard and you live, that's fine. You know, you're invited to stay there as long as you can possibly make it. Yep. And if you don't, why, there you go.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and that's probably why I've never been successful at roses. Jeff in Newport Richie, good afternoon. You're in executive session.
Hey, good afternoon, John. How's it going?
It's just going.
Yeah.
Damned if I know how.
Listen, I just wanted to agree with Daryl yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I fell asleep listening to Rachel Maddow read that box full too.
I don't know if you fell asleep, but see, the thing is that what we had there was the reason that I chose that is particularly was because basically what she was doing is reading a poll, and it was just right. You know, it was just a good straight read. So nobody else that I listened to had that to present. I said, I like that.
Yeah, that poll really excited me. I was actually glad to hear it.
Good.
Because, you know, the polls also said Hillary was going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, we are balancing on the very tip of a poll all the time, aren't we? And
Yeah,
so you got to figure out which way we're going to jump off. That's all. Well, you know, the ultimate poll is the one that you do in the precinct.
Right. The only poll that counts is the one with the lever.
That's right. That's right. That's it. All right. Listen, I appreciate it, Jeff. We'll talk again.
Thanks, John.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 here in executive session on WMNF. Joined in the session by Adam Baxt, who is keeping an eye on things and seeing if he can steer this conversation somewhere down the middle of the road.
Keeping us from the weeds.
Keeping it out of the weeds. Yeah, good.
How about that one?
All right. All right. Here we go. We're going to go to, is it Nell and Swan? County?
It's Neil.
Oh, hi, Neil. I'm reading from a very small screen here, so I
understand that.
Go for it.
Okay, I live in rural Suwannee County, outside of Branford. We are a lawnmower repair shop.
Uh-oh.
And I got to tell you, the obsession with grass with some people, and it's just like Daryl said, Argentine Bahia is the best out there. You can't kill it.
Yeah.
But it grows like crazy.
Doesn't it?
And, we have almost been driven to insanity with the point of being harassed wherever we go about how's my lawnmower, when is it going to be done? They're not a great product. I don't care who makes them. They don't go like a car does. They compare them to the automobile that can run 200,000 miles. A lawnmower is good for a few hundred, and then it needs all kinds of service.
Yeah.
But I don't even know how to explain how this obsession with grass is with mostly retired people. We have more retired people in this area than I ever thought, and we have been having to absolutely put the hammer down on them to make them wait their turn, or we can't get it done.
Well, I'll tell you, Neil. A lot of those, a lot of the retirement communities, the villages and Sun City and like that, they have extremely stringent rules.
Well, that's the swillages. That's what you're going to get over there. So they don't understand nature. They don't understand Florida and delicate ecosystem we have here.
No, they're imposing their will on nature is what they're
Absolutely.
Doing.
Absolutely. And yeah. The other thing with the grass, too, is what's the worst thing if your lawnmower's hung up for a couple of weeks, your grass doesn't get cut. You don't eat it anyway. You can cut it again. Sure, it might clump up a little bit. But here, you know, the great idea is to buy 5-10 acres and sounds like a good time until you spend 3 or 4 hours on a high-end lawnmower mowing that stuff, and it beats you to death.
Yeah.
And it is just, you know, I've I don't know. I cannot dictate enough facts that, you know, you have to wait. Plus, we work on farm equipment. We got to take care of these guys before anybody.
Yeah, because they're kind of making their living at it, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And
I could see the priority.
Fences with branches on them. Cows can smell that, and they go right out it. And You know, so we give the farmers and commercial people the priority. And they're just, I'm thinking of just getting out of the business because it's just going to take me out. And also this junk that is being sold through these box stores where they take great names and like a John Deere and turn it into something that is scaled down and garbage.
Yeah.
And they don't even last. The parts can, during the season, can be hard to get because everybody needs them.
Mm-hmm.
And so my solution to a lot of people that I tell them is mow it. You know, leave some areas to grow high. Leave islands.
Yeah.
Because I understand having to cut back the woods because the forest always will want to take back over.
Yep.
There's all kinds of creatures that come out there. And some, I'm not scared of anything in Florida. I just run the snakes off, and they usually don't want anything to do with you anyway. And
They're not just. Listen, you're too big. You're too big for food.
Yes, that's right.
You know, and they're primarily interested in food survival. Yeah.
So we keep the grass cut back from the house, and I understand that because, I mean, some people are terrified of anything that creeps or crawls.
Yeah.
The phobia, they just are...
That's not a good thing if you're going to transplant to Florida, because Florida is one of the creepy-crawly capitals of the entire world.
Yes, it is.
All right, Neil, listen, all the way from Suwannee County, thank you very much. I'll look forward to talking to you again. We're gonna move along. We got a lot of calls.
I love listening to this show. It makes me laugh.
Well, that's good. I like that. Thanks a lot. We'll talk again.
Have a great day.
Sure enough. All right, 813-239-9663. Quick, some announcements, and back to what we're going to be here. We're going to be talking about this here lawn stuff.
Support for WNF. Excuse me. Support for WNF comes from our members in Alert Today Florida, working to improve the safety of bicyclists and pedestrians. Distracted driving not only puts motorists at risk, those who walk and bike are also particularly vulnerable. The role of public safety begins at alerttodayflorida.com. If you have an unwanted car just creating stress, donate it to WMNF, and it will create more support for the last local radio station in Tampa Bay. Call 1-888-966-3885 or visit WMNF.org to schedule your free and convenient pickup today.
And take a quick opportunity to invite you to stay after the session for the All Souls edition of It's the Music with Scott Elliott and Mike Hawkins, and they're going to take you through the afternoon and kind of get you ready to drive home. We're going to take you through the traffic jam. John Palmer has got Kim Ritchie coming into the studio. You are going to have live music on your drive home this afternoon. Call your friends. Ask them, what's on your radio? Be gentle. 813-239-9663. Let's see who's been here for a while. Les in Brooksville, good afternoon. You're in executive session. You have the floor.
Hey, John. Thanks. Great show. Homeowners Association.
Oh.
Buyer beware.
Yeah.
Make sure you read your deed restrictions.
Yeah.
Because I don't water my lawn. I have Bahia. I don't fertilize. I've seen the damage that's happened to our springs and our natural waterways in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to pressure wash my driveway. So I get this letter and I got 30 days to get it done, or then it becomes $100 a week for every week that it's not done.
They gave you a time limit for pressure washing your own driveway?
That's right.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to get clear that I understood that correctly.
Goodness.
It's a group of spies, obviously, in the neighborhood to ride around and look for the non-compliance issues. And then we have a management company that comes in, I think, probably once a month. And then the spies ride with them and point out the non-compliance issues.
Wow.
And that gets the ball rolling. And so, no, my lawn is as natural as I can get it, and I'm not going to put any chemicals on it.
Yeah. Well, listen, I've had Bahia lawns throughout the time I've. They actually used to sod with Bahia. I don't know what they're doing now, but they used to sod with Bahia.
No, they turned all the big greens or St. Augustine.
Yeah. Well, St. Augustine, so the thing about Bahia is that, and you truly, it is pampas grass from South America. And you can't burn it to death. During the winter, it looks like it died. It just looks like it died. Mm-hmm. And the first time you get a heavy rain in the summer, you can hear it grow.
Yeah.
It's amazing stuff.
Pretty amazing. But listen, I appreciate your show and for hearing my comment.
All right. Well, listen, come back tomorrow. We're going to have some very, very interesting discussions tomorrow starting at noon and probably carry over into the session tomorrow afternoon. So thanks for calling this afternoon. We'll talk again.
We appreciate you, John.
Thank you. And 813-239-9663 here on Executive Session on WMNF 88.5 FM. In Tampa, Vivian in Waimama, go ahead. You're on Executive Session. You have the floor.
Okay, me?
You are Vivian?
Yes, this is Vivian.
It's you.
Okay. I wanted to touch on the environmental impact and a species in particular that's endemic to Florida, the Florida scrub jay.
Yeah.
Now, it has suffered tremendously. And not only by the development of lawns and subdivisions, but converting to lawns instead of leaving some native habitat, particularly in what we call the mega parcels, you know, the big, huge, platted parcels of 1, 2, 5, and 10-acre lots in Highlands County, Sarasota County, Charlotte County. If some of those are left, instead of converting them, you could put your house on it and do minimal impact, and the scrub jays would still be able to persist.
Mm-hmm.
Putting a lawn in Highlands County in some of those parcels is very similar to what someone said about trying to do that in Phoenix.
Yeah.
You know, just about impossible.
Yeah.
My other point is regarding the Florida scrub jay is if we would spend 1% of the funds we spend on maintaining our lawns, on maintaining habitat for the Florida scrub jay on our public land, that species would not be in nearly the danger that it's in now.
Yeah.
One of the major reasons for decline is that we just don't have the funds or we don't have the wherewithal to spend the money, and it's not a whole lot of money, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Little bit of cutting and burning, and the jays would be far better off on our public lands than they are now. So it's kind of the double whammy.
All right, Vivian. I appreciate you bringing in the environmental aspect and specifically pointing out the effect on one of our very cherished native species around here.
Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate
thanks a lot, Vivian. We'll talk again. 813-239-9663 here in Executive Session on WMNF. We are talking about lawns. This has nothing to do with the executive branch of your United States government, at least unless you can make the connection. And if you do, you win the prize. But we did hear an executive, Everyday Ethics that was on lawns and the everyday ethics of lawns. Angie in Sarasota, good afternoon. You're in Executive Session and you have the floor. Are you there? Hello. Is it you? You know what? I keep hearing something like you're trying to reach us, but whatever it is that you're trying to reach us with is not reaching us. So try again. I'm eager to hear from what you have to say, and we will talk again. We're going to go and talk to Al in Pinellas Park. Good afternoon. You are in Executive Session.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hey, yeah. I think something's going on with your phone.
It's a possibility. We have a very inventive phone system.
I think I'm going to win your prize. You know what the problem is?
Uh-oh.
Side of, it's because human beings need to control everything around them. Look at our president. I mean, you know, they start out, they cut their hair. Next thing you know, they're shaving their underarms, their nether regions. They've run out things to clean. Now they got to go attack the world and start shaving their lawns and everything. I live out in the wild. Nothing's manicured. It is beautiful. What happened to the natural state?
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty much all I got to say.
All right, well, listen.
Bees and lizards and everything.
As far as I can tell, Adam has awarded you the prize for the day here.
I think you got it. I think you had that one.
It's a matter of psychological control. I got my patch of property. I needed to look this way, and I'm going to make everybody else make theirs look the same way. You all need to start a revolution against
really?
The lawn.
Oh, you should see my... You want to see revolution, you should see my backyard, Al.
I think there's also a thing. What is it? There's a guy over in Tampa on Nebraska, and somehow there's a little thing where you can pass your lawn as like some sort of little natural preserve or whatever, where you can do anything you want, plant weeds, flowers, or whatever, in the name of protecting animals or whatever. I can't remember what it's called.
Okay.
But he has signs up around his property, so nobody can tell him what to do. The subdivision, whatever. This is state. You can't override a state or a federal thing.
All right. Well, listen, I am reasonably sure that there's a reasonable possibility that someone will come up in here right behind you and let us know exactly what that was. So thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, stop cutting your hair, too. It's not good for you.
Okay, Al. Right. We'll talk again. All right, we are in the lightning round. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think he won. I think he had that. That's a pretty solid connection there on that one.
So I'd like to, I want to take a minute or just a couple seconds here and thank Mr. Bill Grace for handling the phones for us this afternoon. This has been a real adventure, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And also take just a few seconds to remind you again to tune in tomorrow for Midpoint at noon here on 88.5 FM to learn how a sexual assault investigation should be conducted. We are going to probably hear something tomorrow about how one is being conducted. Now you can tune in here on your radio station and find out how one should be conducted, because we're going to be talking to experts. We're going to be talking to the Chief Sex Crimes Prosecutor, Jennifer Johnson of the Hillsborough County State Attorney's Office, and the prominent sex crime defense attorney, Maria Pavlidis, about how to talk to sexual assault complainants and witnesses and how to prove or disprove a historical case of sexual assault without forensic evidence. Sound familiar? And how to defend the case without alienating your jury or your audience. We want your suggestions. We want your questions and comments. If you appreciate this type of programming, please call in and join the discussion. And let me see here. We're going to go and talk to Rob Antonotis-Sassa. I believe you're going to have the last word in the session this afternoon. Go for it.
I tell you, John, I'm out here. I used to live in the suburbs, you know, on a 0.3 acre. I was like Hank Hill, man. Everything done in a day. Mow, edge. Then I'd sit back and crack a beer and go, yep.
Yep.
But out here, I've got a little over an acre and a half. It's like, I never do it. It's always being mowed. I'll do the front yard one day, and then I get a push mower, which, by the way, when I pull the cord, my dog circles around and barks, and I think he thinks it's attacking me. It's crazy. But then I do certain areas the right and lower can't get. Then I'll do the backyard another day, and I'll edge it another day. Because, man, you try to do it all in one day, you're shot. Mm-hmm.
Rob, that sounds like a part-time job.
It is.
I mean, you know.
Wasn't I didn't have a beer stuck in that little holder there on the riding mower, it would definitely be a job. But I try to make the best of it.
If you're going to do that kind of stuff, maybe you ought to get a cooler with some wheels on it.
Yeah, well, I don't want to end up like George Jones ride down the local Circle K to pick up a 12-pack, you know, on the riding mower. But yeah, it's a lot of work. And, you know, I used to fertilize, like when you're supposed to and all that, you know, and just tried to, you know, have little garden areas. But, man, it's out here, it's like it's basically trying to keep the wilderness at bay. And sometimes I have to go wade in there and take out all saplings and whatnot. But I love it.
Yeah,
but I don't really worry so much about weeds creeping in and re-sodding these areas. You know, I let it grow naturally, and I don't fertilize it. In fact, the more of it that's dead is the less I have to mow.
The more of it dies, the less you have to do.
Exactly.
All right, listen, Rob. Thanks a lot. Appreciate your call, and we'll talk again.
All right.
Let's see here. We got 12 seconds to the last minute. I'll tell you what, Stanley and Lisa and Melanie, call back tomorrow. We will talk with you again. We are running out of time here because time doesn't care how much I want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. Time is going to run out. So once again, stay tuned for the All Souls edition of It's the Music. We're going to have Scott and Mike in here in a little while. They're going to take you through the afternoon nice and easy and get you to the traffic jam. John Palmer is going to help you get home, and he is going to have Kim Ritchie live in the studio playing music for you as you wend your way through the delight that is afternoon traffic in the Tampa Bay area. Thank you very much, Adam. Appreciate you being here.
I love being here.
And be sure to stay tuned and come back tomorrow because there is going to be a powerful program on sexual assault at noon, and then probably we're going to carry on that conversation.
It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime.
This is WMNF Tampa.